Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. Know that the Lord is good. It is God who made us, and we are God's. We are God's people and the sheep of God's pasture. Enter God's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise. Give thanks to the Lord and bless God's name. For the Lord is good. God's steadfast love endures forever, and God's faithfulness to all generations. Amen. So let's join together to sing, "The Kingdom of God is Justice and Joy." Join together to pray. Let us pray. We come before you, gracious God, just as we are. We come with our weaknesses and our vulnerabilities. We come with our fears and our apprehensions. We come with faith and we come with doubt. We come to offer and we come to receive. We come to you, the King of love. In the name of Jesus and the power of the Spirit. Lord, You have called us to the privilege of service, but we have failed to serve. You have given us the blessing of peace, but we have often chosen discord. You have loved as a shepherd tends his sheep, but we have strayed from your path. Forgive us and show us the way of obedience and faithfulness that Jesus trod. And we pray in his name. Amen. Let's say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus was with the disciples. He had called 12 people to help him, and their names were Simon Peter, Andrew, obviously wanted to sit down, lie down even, Philip, Bartholomew, James, John, Thomas, Matthew, Thaddeus, Simon, Judas, Bartholomew. And then Jesus said to them, I'm going to send you out to serve me. If Jesus had said to each of them, I need you to put on a label about who you are, and if Jesus was to say to each one of us, I need you to put on a label as to who you are, what would be on your label? For most of these people, we don't know much about their label. Simon, we know, you could have put on his label fisherman. You could have put on his label Jew. You could have put on his label married man. But let me ask each one of us, what would be on our label? And then to go out knowing that we are sent by Jesus. So Sally Butler will read to us the story from Matthew chapter 9.
Jesus went round visiting all the towns and villages. He taught in synagogues, preached the good news about the kingdom, and healed people with every kind of disease and sickness. As he saw the crowds, his heart was filled with pity for them, because they were worried and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So he said to his disciples, the harvest is large, but there are few workers to gather it in. Pray to the owner of the harvest that he will send out workers to gather in his harvest. Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James and his brother John, the sons of Zebedee, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon, the patriot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. These 12 men were sent out by Jesus with the following instructions. Do not go to any Gentile territory or any Samaritan towns. Instead, you are to go to the lost sheep of the people of Israel. Go and preach. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Bring the dead back to life. Heal those who suffer from dreaded skin diseases. And drive out demons. You have received without paying, so give without being paid. Do not carry any gold, silver, or copper money in your pockets. Do not carry a beggar's bag for the journey, or an extra shirt, or shoes, or a stick. A worker should be given what he needs. When you come to a town or village, go in and look for someone who is willing to welcome you, and stay with him until you leave that place. When you go into a house, say, "Peace be with you." If the people in that house welcome you, let your greeting of peace remain. But if they do not welcome you, then take back your greeting. And if some home or town will not welcome you or listen to you, then leave that place and shake the dust off your feet. I assure you that on the judgment day, God will show more mercy to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah than to the people of that town. Listen, I am sending you out just like sheep to a pack of wolves. You must be as cautious as snakes and as gentle as doves. Watch out, for there will be men who will arrest you and take you to court, and they will whip you in the synagogues. For my sake, you will be brought to trial before rulers and kings to tell the good news to them and to the Gentiles. When they bring you to trial, do not worry about what you are going to say or how you will say it. When the time comes, you will be given what you will say. For the words you will speak will not be yours. They will come from the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Men will hand over their own brothers to be put to death, and fathers will do the same to their children. Children will turn against their parents and have them put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but whoever holds out to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, run away to another one. I assure you that you will not finish your work in all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes.
I get to meet you in person. The text that I'm preaching from is Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to chapter 10, verse 23. So maybe you want to pause me and read that and then come back. As I preach this sermon, the United States is burning. People are protesting about the murder of George Floyd. And as a middle-aged white woman, I can only say that I'm ignorant of how this feels, but I know that the murder was wrong. I know that it's contrary to the healing ministry of Jesus Christ to be a part of it. And as I hear it, again, happy to be educated, because I'm a middle-aged white woman, that racism in the UK is not the same as racism in the US and other countries. It's more subtle. But if it's more subtle, then it's more easily dismissed as people being oversensitive. There are times when you need to know that you are ill before you can receive healing. And part of the role of the disciples is to tell people how far they've gone from God's plan. And part of the life of the church is to remind ourselves of the truths that we have, to remember them. Truths about the lack of value of stuff, that the problems of life are not sorted out by how much alcohol we have to drink. Truths about the value of every human being of all colours. A truth that's easy to say, tough to live. So I'm recording this sermon on the 3rd of June, and I know that much will have happened before we get together to listen to it on the 14th, and that makes for a challenge. The disciples are sent out to tell the good news to the people in their times, now. They were people living with the oppression of being an occupied people, where the Roman soldiers could literally treat one of the ordinary Jews as though they were a pack horse. Remember the story about Simon of Cyrene having to carry the cross? Wrong place, wrong time, brother. What does the message of Jesus sound like to them then? Certainly not the language of machismo, send in the troops, shoot, the advocacy of violence. The message of Jesus Christ is good news for today. We need to preach it in a way that sparks interest for people, in ways that resonate for our times. So as I preach now, there are what strikes me as three threads. Firstly, how do we live together beyond our colour, black and white? How to get beyond just saying, tut, 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 how terrible, but to do something that changes things. And for white people like me, to learn about the British racist experience. Jesus would have something to say about that. The second thread is that there are issues about the use of power. We in the church have had times when we were among the powerful, but not anymore. And I believe, as followers of Jesus, that is good news. See, when we ask people to use power for the state, they need to be secure, but not to be brutal. Wrong does need to be challenged, but the workers on the front line should not be the people taking responsibility for issues that rest elsewhere. It's not good enough to hold abhorrent views and then think that one policeman going through the courts is enough. And the other strand in our times, of course, is the virus. New sadnesses are still coming up. There are still daily deaths. And just because there are not the thousands of them that there were once, each of those deaths matters. And we need to give them the time that they deserve, and not to do so is disrespectful to those people. Each one is a family who are suffering. Jesus would have something to say about that. And alongside that, there are women and children who are in their homes and they are frightened to be there because of a man who cannot control his rage. Jesus would have something to say about that. And there are people who are frightened because they do not have work and they're going to become homeless. And there are young people in Kingston who are being thrown out of their homes by one of their parents. Jesus would have something to say about that. And there's the middle-aged man who admitted that he was feeling lonely. Jesus would have something to say about that. These are tough, hideous situations, not good to hear, not easy to listen to. But it's our job sometimes to listen to other people's sadness and then to find the right words, tender, kind, gently strengthening, words that help. And please, put aside the book of clichés. We don't want it now, if we ever did. The message is that everything about Jesus is healing, not just the healing stories, all of it. A message for people who are in need. That's the focus of Jesus' attention. He has a plan that he wants to share his good news with. He starts with Israel and then moves out, and it is resonant of the work of the prophet Isaiah, where all the nations will come to worship the one holy God. The people of Israel, Jesus regards as sheep. Similarly, the metaphor you also get in the rest of the Old Testament of a group of people who need a shepherd. The disciples are to tell their good news, and they're not to charge for it. To be independent as possible from support from those for whom they go to preach their good news. Some of the injunctions sound incredibly extreme about staffs and sandals, but the parallel passage in Mark, they are allowed. So it reads as though what's not acceptable is taking spares. In a culture where hospitality was so important, their lack of provision would have provoked a response. There will be persecution for those who would spread the gospel. Family division will be the result. And if you know what it is to challenge anybody because of racism or issues in their lifestyle, you'll know about that division. And then those who are sent are to know that the Spirit will speak through them. Jesus sends out the disciples to do the work of healing. Most of us are doing the work that we do, the work of healing, at home. Are we disciplined enough to do that? So if we met somebody in the street and we asked them how they were, they might tell us, they might not, but it would be a small, life-affirming encounter, part of a thousand of other small, life-affirming encounters that are enough to keep people going through the day. But at the moment, that's gone. And you would look at them, and you would smell them, and you would see whether they had shaved or not, whether they were looking groomed or not, whether they were dressed or not. Who knows what anybody's wearing in the bottom half anymore? But how to do it now, Jesus? Tell me how to do it now. Well, the disciples go out to continue the healing ministry of Jesus. And they go with guidelines, but they do not go with a full set of instructions. They have their purpose. What they do, they're to proclaim the good news, to be people who work for healing. They won't be protected from physical hardship by taking tons of stuff with them. They are to expect that there will be opposition. If you try to do things that are good, then there will be pushback. People won't understand. They've got too much invested in the old ways. They don't like change. And all of that makes people rude and sometimes violent and sometimes brutal. The message of Jesus Christ is as healing now as it was then. The call to the people sharing the news is as strong now as it was then. We go with the Spirit in us and around us. We go expecting opposition to our messages, and we go in all humility. We're not there because of our possessions. We're not there because of the colour of our skin. We're not there because of our eloquence. We are where we are because we have been sent by Jesus. And we don't go to dispense our nuggets of truth, but to share his truth. And if we want people to hear us, then we will listen to him, and we will listen to them too. So being a follower of Jesus is not about keeping yourself locked away. Of course, for loads of us at the minute, physically it's about being locked away. But it's not true emotionally, and it's not true spiritually. Who are we praying for on this day? Who are we ministering to on this day? Who are we financially supporting today? And who are we asking about and cherishing? There is work for us to do. Amen.
Let's be silent together then, our leaders in prayer. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, we pray for peace in your troubled and divided world. And we pray for wisdom for our leaders. For discernment of truth, and then the energy and organization to move into action. And we pray for a listening spirit that people would learn from one another. We pray for the persecuted church around the world. We know that for the majority of our brothers and sisters in Christ, life is perilous and sharing the faith is dangerous. Protect them, Lord Jesus. Give them your courage and your strength. And we pray for those who have worked long and hard to spread the good news, and it feels that they are swimming against the tide. Give them a new flood of your Holy Spirit. And we hold up the church in the UK. Lord, we think of those who were sent out to be part of your healing ministry. We pray for all those involved in healing. And for some, it will be hospices and hospitals. For others, it will be carers who come into people's homes. Protect and bless these workers. For those involved in the administration, for those who clean, for those who cook, and we pray for those who need your healing, for their mental illness, and for those who are just close to the edge, for those battling with the underlying hum of this virus. For those who are bereaved. We pray for the children and young people going to school, and for those who are at home. And for those who are bereaved of the celebration of the end of exams, and the celebration of leaving of their particular school, and the concern that they will not be a lost generation. for your healing, Lord Jesus. And we hold up those for whom we have a particular concern. And we've been asked to pray for Chris, who has cancer and will be having surgery, for peace for her and for her family. And we pray for ourselves. Lord, you have a job for us to do. Give us your spirit to do it. And we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So a few notices before we move to our communion. After this service, we'll have a short break, a little comfort break, as they say, and then we'll come back and we'll gather again for a church meeting. I've asked could you draw me some birds? If you've got some pictures of birds, could you send them to me, please? On Monday, it will be Helen Ferrelly's funeral service, and there will be a web link. If you want to follow that, ask me and we will send you the information. On Wednesday at 5 o'clock, there will be a time to remember and to reflect Barry Davis. If you knew Barry, 5 o'clock, let me know and I'll send you I'll probably send everybody the Zoom details actually. And then on Thursday at 5 o'clock, there are a number of the members of the church who have found the death of George Floyd to be incredibly traumatizing and troubling. A hideous thing that we've seen on our televisions. And I want to allow us time to talk and to listen and to pray. And if you would like to be there, then that will be Thursday at 5 o'clock. If you remember, if we can help you facilitate your making your offering, that would be good. Happy to walk down to the building and put those checks through the bank as I've been doing. Otherwise, if you need help sorting it out electronically, we can do that for you. So let us listen to the choir sing, "Come Down, O Love Divine."
Jesus had known.
Jesus was often a guest. He shared many meals with his friends. And long they remembered the words at his table. Some disapproved of the company that he kept. And Jesus ate and drank with all kinds of people and showed everyone the love of God. Wherever people met together, Jesus was glad to be welcomed and to be fed. Today, we are the guests of Jesus. He welcomes us, whoever we are, whatever we have done, whatever we bring, he will feed us. Old or young, rich or poor, in joy or in sorrow, Jesus invites us to take bread and wine with him, and to remember the story of his life and his death, and to celebrate his presence. How on the day before he died, Jesus shared a meal with 12 of his disciples in an upstairs room in Jerusalem, and the gospel writers tell us. While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it, and he said to them, "This is my body of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink the fruit of the wine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." So we are the friends and disciples of Jesus today. And he invites us to break bread together and to remember him and to pray that God's kingdom will come. So let us pray. Thank you, God, for the gospel that we have heard with its power to change lives and bring hope to places of despair. Thank you for all who have received the gospel's joy and risked sorrow and pain and death for the sake of it. Thank you for the gospel's power to strengthen and encourage us, even though we struggle and know our weakness and our fear. Thank you for the promise to us, to our children and to all who are far away, that the Holy Spirit will be given with the forgiveness of sin and the promise of eternal joy. Thank you that you are present with us in the ordinary, everyday things of life. In each moment, you are our God and are present with us through bread and wine. Thank you. And even present in our ordinary lives, thank you. Pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts, that this bread would be for us as the body of Christ, and this wine as the blood of Christ. And that as we eat and drink, we would know ourselves, united with you, our Holy God, and united with one another, and united with the persecuted church around the world for whom we pray. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The body of Christ. The blood of Christ. So let us pray. Where the lost and the lonely are, where your children suffer wrong and are in despair, where hope is absent and faith abandoned and love is strange, there, Lord, let us be. And if we must suffer for your work, for the sake of the joy you intend for all your children, give us the courage so to do. And thank you for the knowledge that you will be with us in our challenges. In us, around us, day by day. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we join together to sing our final hymn, Lord of All Hopefulness. So let us go as God's people to serve the Lord. Let us go with love to bring healing, and let us go with peace. So we say together, praise to our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. evermore. Amen.